set the stage for us.
Okay.
I see Pat, there's Pat, yeah.
All right, let's come to order. Good morning, everyone. Sorry, we're a few minutes late. We had a little delay getting off the ground in Bismarck, but the pilot is conscientious and better safe than sorry, so we're glad to be here this morning. I'm going to open this public hearing. Let the record show that it is 10:40 a.m. Central Time on October 27th, 2009. We're present in the City Commission Hearing Room in Williston, North Dakota, for the hearing in the matter of an application from Basin Electric Power Cooperative for a 230 kilovolt electric transmission line in Williams and Mountrail counties of North Dakota. This is case number PU-07-671. On September 15th, 2009, the Office of Administrative Hearings received a request from the Public Service Commission to provide an administrative law judge to preside in this matter. My name is Bonnie M. Fetch, and I am the duly designated administrative law judge. I am an independent administrative law judge from the Office of Administrative Hearings. At this time, I'd like to introduce the members of the Public Service Commission. Right here we have Commission Chairman Kevin Kramer. To his right is Commissioner Tony Clark, and to my right is Commissioner Brian Kalk. At this time, I ask the parties to state their appearances for the record. Will counsel for the applicant state her appearance and indicate who's present with you and who will be testifying for Basin Electric, please?
My name is Casey Jacobson. I'm an attorney with Basin Electric Power Cooperative, and this morning we have five witnesses. The first witness will be Mr. Dewey Marthaler. The second witness will be Mr. Matt Stoltz. The third witness will be Mr. Kevin Soley. The fourth witness will be Mr. Mark Nygaard, and the fifth and final witness will be Mike Murray. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Jacobson. All right, and now, counsel for the commission, please state your appearance.
Anna Bendish, counsel for the Public Service Commission. With me is Jerry Lean, an analyst with the commission. I would ask, because the commission is not taking an advocacy role in this proceeding, that Mr. Lean be allowed to ask questions instead of filtering them through counsel.
Is there any objection?
No.
All right. That motion is granted.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Lean is going to pass around a sign-up sheet. Those present here, whether you intend to testify or not, would you please sign the sheet that's coming around? It appears from my review of the file that there are no interveners in this matter. Ms. Bendish, is that correct?
That's correct.
Is there anyone present today who is going to be presenting testimony as a proponent of the application? Please raise your hand if that's the case. All right, thank you. Is there anyone present to protest the application today? All right, thank you. I didn't see any hands. Members of the public present, this public hearing is your opportunity to give the commission your views, and the commissioners are interested in what you have to say. So at the time that you wish to give testimony, I will ask that you come forward to the end of the table and state your name and your address and who you represent. And at that time, I will then swear you in and you will be able to give your testimony. I noted two hands that wanted to testify as proponents in support of the application. I'll ask again at the time to take public testimony. Following any witness testimony, there may be questions from Commission's counsel or Mr. Lean, counsel for Basin Electric, and also from the commissioners. I may also ask any questions of witnesses. A summary of the application was set forth in a notice of filing and notice of hearing dated September 29th, 2009. I'll give a summary of that at this time. On August 10th, 2009, Basin Electric filed an application for a waiver of procedures and time schedules and a consolidated application for a certificate of core compatibility and route permit to authorize construction of a 230 kilovolt electric transmission line and associated facilities extending from an existing substation near Williston to an existing substation near Tioga, North Dakota. The commission found the applications were complete, conditioned on Basin Electric filing a map detailing proposed final transmission line structure locations, which was subsequently timely filed. Basin Electric is requesting that the commission waive procedures and time schedules set forth in statute and rule to allow for a single consolidated application for corridor certificate and route permit. This public hearing is a combined hearing on the application for a waiver and consolidated application for the transmission line corridor and route. There are four issues for the commission to consider. One, will the location, construction, and operation of the proposed facilities produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and upon the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota? Two, are the proposed facilities compatible with the environmental preservation and efficient use of resources? Three, will the proposed facility locations minimize adverse human and environmental impact while ensuring continuing system reliability and integrity and ensuring that energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion? And four, is it appropriate for the commission to waive procedures and time schedules as requested, including the request for a single consolidated application for corridor certificate and route permit? This is the hearing procedure that we will follow in this matter. Basin Electric will first present its case for granting its request to waive the procedures and time schedules in this matter and its application for a corridor certificate and route permit. Each witness called by the applicant will be subject to questioning by Commission Counsel or Mr. Lean and the commissioners. I may also ask questions. And on completion of the applicant's presentation of its case, any proponents of the application who wish to testify will be given the opportunity to do so. Following that, I will ask again whether there are any protestants, and they will also be given an opportunity to present a case for denial of Basin Electric's waiver request and application for corridor certificate and route permit. If documentary evidence is introduced, I must have 7 copies marked as an exhibit for the commission. The burden of proof is on the applicant, Basin Electric, to show by a preponderance of the evidence that its waiver request and application for a corridor certificate and route permit should be granted. Council, any questions regarding the procedures?
I have none, thank you.
No, Your Honor.
At this time, I'm going to ask the commissioners whether they have opening comments. And I'm going to begin with Commissioner Tony Clark, who has the portfolio.
Thank you, Judge Fedge. Well, just good morning and welcome. Thanks for being here. These are remarkable times in North Dakota in the energy industry. If you look back at commission history as far as siting cases, whether they be transmission lines or pipelines or generation fields themselves, you'll see that in the last few years we've had a remarkable uptick in investment here in the state. If you look back from the time period about 95 to 2005, you could probably count on one hand the number of siting cases that the commission did. If you total up just from 2005 until to now, it's several dozen that the commission has handled. So we've had a number of these, some of these right here in this particular room, because of course this part of the state is such an integral part of the energy industry. And while all of us as state officials are not immune to being excited about the level of economic development that's going on in the state, we realize that as a commission we do have this separate function, which is to oversee and make sure that the development that's taking place is being done in the right way and in the right fashion, and making sure that all the requirements that are there in statute are being followed, and that it's happening in an orderly way that's protecting our cultural, historic, and environmental resources. And so that's really what we're here doing today, is to build that record. And in that light, and something that Judge Fetch mentioned, is we really do want to hear from you, because this is our one opportunity to get the information on the record. This type of proceeding may be something that's a little bit unfamiliar to you if you haven't been to one of these before. It tends to be a lot more formal than a lot of other proceedings that you may have been involved with, whether it be city commissions or legislatures or things like that. The reason it is not because we don't want folks to testify. We do want you to testify. The reason it is because under the law it's an administrative proceeding that has to be done on the record. Now, one of the things that's really important to note about that is that the commission can only consider things that are said right here with sworn testimony and the ability for all parties to ask you questions. But don't let that intimidate you. If you do want us to consider something, please do it here today, because we do want to be able to take everything into consideration. If you have a question or a concern or in favor of the project, those are all things that help us make our decisions. Thank you.
Thank you. And Commission Chairman Kevin Kramer, could we hear from you,
sure,
please?
Thank you, Judge Fetch, and thanks all of you for being here. And special thanks, by the way, to Representative Sukit for being our chauffeur and getting us here, and great to see Representative Hattleston as well. We appreciate their support of what the Commission does and their support of this area in representing you so well. You know, a few things that come to mind. You know, the first thing that came to mind this morning was the old adage, time to spare, go by air. But fortunately, we were able to scramble, find another aircraft, and get up here. But while doing so, it was interesting that we flew over, of course, some coal mines, some power plants, some transmission lines. And then as we were coming in, of course, we saw the many oil rigs, some pumping, actually. Isn't that exciting? And I was reminded that it seemed kind of unbelievable a couple of months ago when it was announced that North Dakota passed Oklahoma as the fifth leading producer of oil. But that seems kind of minuscule today. As we found out last week, we now passed Louisiana as the fourth leading producer of oil. And as we flew over all of that energy infrastructure, thinking about this hearing, it was hard not to be somewhat impressed by the fact that we're coming up here to site a transmission line that will take that electricity that was generated somewhere in the middle of our state, burning coal from underneath our state, to produce oil that then gets piped to, much of which gets piped to a refinery in our state, that will turn it into diesel that will go into trucks and to loaders to mine the coal. And isn't it wonderful to be in the entire circle? But more impressive than that, isn't it wonderful to be the solution to America's energy needs and to have exactly what America wants? And so, as Tony said, we are bullish on energy development in North Dakota, but at the same time take very seriously that other charge to ensure that the development of North Dakota's energy resources is done in a responsible manner with minimal adverse impact on people and cultural and natural resources, which are also a rich part of the blessings of being North Dakotans. with that, Judge, I just want to clarify a couple of logistical things. First of all, I want to ask our sound engineer if everything is sounding okay, and which microphones are live. I want to. You maybe did that while I was out, but are all of these?
The silver microphones that are attached to the table are part of the in-house system, and the black ones that are set up temporarily just for recording. So
okay.
Don't worry about. So what both were
perfect. Perfect. That was the first thing. And then just as also, when we do get public testimony, is it my understanding that they'll be asked to come to the podium? Is that?
That's fine.
Right here. At
you'd
the
prefer
the
they come here? It doesn't matter to me, I guess, but sometimes people might be more comfortable doing something.
I think you're right, Commissioner. I think
the podium
would be better.
I think that may be. That way you can talk right to us, and that's fine. But let me also then add my word of encouragement that when that time does come, whether you're a proponent or a Protestant, or just a concerned citizen that's maybe neutral, or maybe you're a proponent with concerns, all of that is welcome and encouraging. So we want to hear from you because there's no second chance once this hearing is closed. So again, welcome. Thank you for your interest, and it's great to be in Williston.
Thank you, Commissioner, and we have the full commission today, so Commissioner Kalk, would you like to say something?
Sure. What's left to be said after these two guys talk, right? I just want to thank you all for coming out today. Thank Basin Electric for all the work that they've done. Got a nephew in Williston High School, and so I come up here quite a bit, and I'm just always impressed when I come here. We've got great representatives, great part of the state, and a great team, and I just look forward to a good hearing today. Thank you.
Thank you, members of the commission. Does the applicant wish to make a brief opening statement?
I do. Thank you, Judge Fetch, commissioners, members of the public, staff. My name is Casey Jacobson, and I'm an attorney for Basin Electric Power Cooperative. On September 11th, 2007, Basin Electric submitted to the Public Service Commission a letter notifying the commission of its intent to construct a 230 kV transmission line from Williston to Tioga. Basin Electric also requested the commission shorten the one-year waiting period between filing a letter of intent and the filing of the application for a certificate of corridor compatibility. By a motion dated September 20th, 2007, the commission acknowledged the letter of intent, shortened the one-year waiting period between filing a letter of intent and a siting application to one day, assessed a filing fee of $100,000, and assigned the project case number PU-07-671. On August 10th, 2009, Basin Electric submitted its combined applications for a waiver of procedures and time schedules, certificate of corridor compatibility, and a route permit for the Williston to Tioga project. On September 29th, 2009, the Public Service Commission issued a notice of filing and notice of hearing on Basin Electric's application and found the applications to be complete, conditioned on Basin Electric filing a map detailing the proposed final transmission line structure locations on or before October 20th, 2009. On October 9th, 2009, Basin Electric filed a certification relating to order provisions, electric transmission line siting regarding certain conditions to which Basin Electric has agreed to. On October 20th, 2009, Basin Electric delivered to the Public Service Commission a map detailing the proposed final transmission line structure locations. The applicant's case in support of its application will be presented today through five witnesses. The first witness will be Dewey Marthaler, the project manager for the Williston to Tioga project. Mr. Marthaler's testimony contains a description of the nature and business of Basin Electric Power Cooperative, a description of the transmission facilities, and general location of the proposed line and Basin Electric's policies with respect to the Public Service Commission's policy criteria. Mr. Marthaler will also testify to the design of the facility. The second witness is Mr. Matthew Stoltz, who will testify regarding the need for the project. The third witness is Mr. Kevin Soli, who will describe the methodology used in evaluating and identifying the proposed corridor and route. The last witness is Mr. Mike Murray, who will describe the line route and discuss its selection in terms of right-of-way considerations. Sitting behind me is Darlene Steffen, Administrative Secretary in the Office of General Counsel, and will assist me at today's hearing. Additionally, with your indulgence, I would like to introduce a few people from the Basin Electric membership here today. First off is David Seiglo. He's the president of Upper Missouri G&T. And also with him is Mr. Tom Barnett, the CEO of Upper Missouri G&T. Additionally, Bob Grant, the vice president of Montrell Williams Cooperative, located here in Williston, and with him is the manager of Montrell Williams, Mr. Dale Haugen. We thank them for attending today. We have these cooperatives here to thank for lunch and refreshments available upstairs, and everyone is welcome to attend lunch, and it'll be available anytime around noon. And that concludes my opening statement.
Thank you, Ms. Jacobson. All right. At this time, Basin Electric may proceed to present its case in this matter. And I believe we're going to have witnesses testify from the podium.
Your Honor, if it would be possible for the Basin Electric witnesses to testify here, they'll be reading off these binders, and I think it's easier for them to sit to do that.
That'll be fine.
Okay.
There is a blue sheet at the end of this table, and it's a sign-in sheet for witnesses. So if you are testifying, I ask that you sign the sign-in sheet. Ms. Jacobson, call your first witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. My first witness is Mr. Dewey Marthaler.
Mr. Marthaler and all the rest of you who will be testifying today, all witness testimony at this hearing is taken under oath and is subject to penalties for perjury. By law, I am required to inform witnesses as to penalties for perjury. Perjury in the state of North Dakota is a Class C felony. It's punishable by a maximum fine of $5,000, a maximum 5 years in prison, or both. Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give shall be the truth under pains and penalties of perjury? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Thank you. Go ahead, Ms. Jacobson.
Thank you.
Should I write this down? Do you want me to sign this first?
Ms. Jacobson, do you have, are you intending to admit, to offer exhibits one by one, or do you intend to admit them as a packet?
My intention is to admit them when the witness testifies through the witness's testimony when it's applicable in their testimony, if that's
okay,
all right.
Thank you. I think that is not the live microphone, it's the black one. Okay, thank you. Please proceed.
Mr. Marthaler, please give us your name, business address, and your occupation.
My name is Dewey Marthaler. I'm employed as the Manager of Civil Engineering for Basin Electric Power Cooperative, 1717 East Interstate Avenue, Bismarck, North Dakota.
And what is your employment history with Basin Electric?
I've been the Manager of Civil Engineering for 12 years. Prior to that, I worked for Basin Electric as a civil engineer for 18 years.
Please state your educational background.
I received a Bachelor of Science degree in Civil Engineering from North Dakota State University in 1977 and a Master of Science degree in Civil Engineering from Colorado State University in 1981.
What have been your responsibilities in connection with the Williston to Tioga 230 kV transmission project?
I am the project manager. As project manager, I am responsible for coordination of all aspects of the project, including routing, right-of-way, engineering, and permitting.
What is the purpose of your testimony at this proceeding?
The purpose of my testimony is to provide a description of Basin Electric Power Cooperative, a summary of the proposed project, a description of the proposed transmission line, and Basin Electric's position with respect to the PSC transmission facility corridor and route policy criteria.
Would you please describe Basin Electric?
Basin Electric is a regional wholesale electric generation and transmission cooperative organized under the laws of the state of North Dakota and headquartered in Bismarck, North Dakota. Basin Electric provides power to 136 member cooperatives serving more than 2.8 million consumers in 9 states, including North Dakota.
Please describe the proposed Williston to Tioga transmission project.
The proposed project consists of a 230 kV transmission line from the Western Area Power Administration's Western existing Williston substation southwest of Williston, North Dakota, to an existing Montana Dakota Utilities, MDU, 230 kV substation east of Tioga, North Dakota. At the Williston substation, Western is adding a 230 kV bay to accommodate upgrading their Charlie Creek to Williston line and this new line to Tioga. The Williston to Tioga 230 kV line will be terminated on a takeoff structure inside the Williston substation yard. At the Tioga substation, MDU has added a 230 kV bay within the existing substation fence. The proposed line will be terminated on a takeoff structure inside the Tioga substation yard. An optical ground wire will be installed on the transmission line for communications and will also serve as lightning protection for the line. The Williston to Tioga 230 kV line will be constructed, owned, and maintained by Basin Electric. The transmission line will be approximately 61 miles long and be located in Williams and Montrail counties.
Mr. Marth, I'll show you what's been marked as Exhibit 1. Could you please identify it?
Yes, it is the project schedule. Basin Electric is planning to start construction in the spring of 2010 and complete the project by the end of 2010.
Your Honor, I'd move for admission of Exhibit 1, please.
Any objections?
No objection.
Thank you. Exhibit 1 is admitted.
What is the estimated cost of the project?
The total cost of the project is estimated to be $24 million.
Please describe the North Dakota Transmission Authority and their role in this proposed project.
The North Dakota Transmission Authority was established in 2005 by the North Dakota Legislature to diversify and expand the North Dakota economy by facilitating in the development of transmission facilities to support the production, transportation, and utilization of North Dakota electric energy. In its role, the North Dakota Transmission Authority assisted in coordinating and participated in discussions between the Bank of North Dakota and Basin Electric. The initial discussions that were held centered on the Bank of North Dakota's MATCH program. The MATCH program, which is targeted to manufacturing, processing, and value-added industries, is designed to encourage financially strong entities to either enter into or expand the business they conduct in North Dakota. The Bank of North Dakota, through the participation of Wells Fargo Bank National Association, has loaned Basin Electric the money needed to construct the Williston to Tioga transmission line.
Please describe the design of the proposed 230 kV transmission line Basin Electric intends to construct.
The transmission line will be constructed on self-supporting galvanized steel single-pole structures. The line will be three-phase, meaning it uses... Pardon me. I gotta get a drink of water. I'll start over with the answer to that. The transmission line will be constructed on self-supporting galvanized steel single-pole structures. The line will be three-phase, meaning it uses three current-carrying conductors. The conductors will be 1.3 inches in diameter. Each conductor has 24 strands of aluminum and 7 strands of steel. Above the conductors will be one 1/2-inch diameter optical ground wire. This wire provides lightning protection and optical fibers for communications. The minimum conductor clearance to ground will be 26 feet at 212 degrees Fahrenheit conductor temperature. The line will require approximately 6 to 7 structures per mile, depending on terrain and other design factors. Special structure spotting considerations are necessary when crossing roads or bodies of water. The right-of-way will be 125 feet wide, which amounts to 15.15 acres per mile of transmission line.
What standards has Basin Electric adopted in designing this line?
The transmission line will be constructed according to standards of the Rural Utilities Service, the National Electric Safety Code, the Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers, the American Society of Civil Engineers, the American Institute of Steel Construction, and the American Concrete Institute. In addition, Basin Electric has its own standards. Thank you.
Can you please examine this exhibit and identify it?
It is a drawing of the typical 230 kV transmission line structure that will be used on the project.
Your Honor, I'd move for admission of Exhibit 2.
Okay, and where is Exhibit 2?
It should be right in the back of the testimony.
Is it marked?
It is marked Exhibit 2. It's just, the court reporter just marked it as Exhibit 2.
All right, thank you. Is there any objections?
No objection.
Exhibit 2 is admitted.
Your Honor, for people in the room, it's a poster over there on the.
Thank you.
Would you please describe the transmission line structures to be built as part of this project?
The structures will be single pole steel structures. These structures will minimize the impact on any land crossed. The angle structures will also be single poles and will have concrete foundations with no guy wires. The regular inline structures will be directly buried in the ground. The typical structure will be about 100 feet tall. The top of the pole will be about 10 inches in diameter, and the bottom will be about 42 inches in diameter. The structures will have permanent working ladders. Ladders are not accessible from the ground.
What are the minimum clearances over cultivated land, pasture, roads, and other utility lines?
The minimum clearances are cultivated land or pasture, 26 feet, roads, 28 feet, highways, 31 feet, railroads, 38 feet, and line crossings, 12 to 16 feet, depending on the voltage of the line being crossed. These clearances are provided at a maximum conductor temperature of 212 degrees Fahrenheit. The clearance at lower temperatures will be greater. These clearances meet or exceed code standards.
Once the structures are located, can any single structure be moved easily?
Every structure height, position, and type is very specific to its location. Changes to any one structure, almost without exception, requires changes to adjacent structures.
Mr. Marthaler, you have testified that this project will involve a right-of-way of 125 feet. Can you please identify any standards regarding tree growth within the right-of-way?
Basin Electric must follow requirements of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission and the North American Energy Reliability Council regarding vegetation that could cause a line outage. Basin Electric must clear vegetation that exceeds a maximum height of 12 feet.
Would you please discuss the electric and magnetic fields created by a 230 kV transmission line?
Electric and magnetic fields, commonly referred to as EMF, are invisible lines of force that surround any electrical device. All power lines, electrical wiring, and electrical equipment produce electric and magnetic fields. Electric fields are produced by voltage. Magnetic fields result from the flow of electricity through wires. Both types of fields decrease rapidly as the distance from the source increases. The electric field is shielded or weakened by common materials that conduct electricity, even materials that conduct electricity poorly, such as trees, buildings, and human skin. Magnetic fields are more difficult to shield. Therefore, discussion and study of exposure to these fields is usually directed to magnetic fields. Directly below the center line of a 230 kV power line, the mean magnetic field strength is about 58 milligauss. At 50 feet from the center line, the field strength is about 20 milligauss. For comparison, the field strength 1 foot from a running hairdryer is 70 milligauss, and 1 foot from a can opener is 300 milligauss.
How much radio, television, and cell phone interference can be expected?
Interference with television and AM radio reception should not be noticeable beyond the edge of the right-of-way. The line will have no effect on FM radio or cell phone reception.
Are you aware of any actual or potential hazards to humans, animal life, or the environment posed by the transmission line?
Electrocution hazard is present under any transmission line where a person extends conductive objects close to the energized conductor. The primary hazard to wildlife is birds flying into a wire.
Is there an increased danger associated with lightning strikes near the transmission line?
The overhead ground wire will shield the conductors from direct hits by lightning. The current from each of the lightning strokes is diverted to the ground at the adjacent structures. When this current is discharged from the pole base to the surrounding ground, A step potential voltage will momentarily exist on the ground near the pole, presenting an electrocution hazard. People should avoid structures during a lightning storm.
Does this transmission line interfere with any airports or airport expansion plans?
Basin Electric reviewed the proposed transmission line with staff of the Tioga and Williston airports. Basin Electric hired Altec engineers to analyze the Tioga Airport using Federal Aviation Administration standards, and they determined the proposed transmission line will not interfere with the airport. Staff from the Williston Airport referred us to Cadermus, Lee, and Jackson engineers, the firm studying the proposed expansion of the Williston Airport. It was determined that the proposed transmission line is outside the area of influence of the proposed expansion of the Williston Airport.
I would now like to ask you a series of questions relating to the North Dakota Public Service Commission's Transmission Facility Corridor and Route Policy Criteria. What is Basin Electric's policy with respect to maximizing potential benefits through location and design of its facilities?
Basin Electric performs comprehensive transmission studies to identify facilities that are needed to ensure a reliable transmission system. The location and voltage of these facilities is determined by transmission planning experts to maximize the benefits of these lines. Mr. Matthew Stoltz will discuss this further in his testimony.
What is Basin Electric's policy concerning the training and utilization of available labor in North Dakota for the general and specialized skills required?
Basin Electric has a long-standing policy of recruiting and training workers from North Dakota. We have developed a partnership with Bismarck State College to provide the coursework for our apprenticeship programs in both our Transmission Systems Maintenance Division and Power Plant Maintenance areas. We also work with the University of North Dakota, North Dakota State University, University of Mary, Bismarck State College, and North Dakota State College of Science to fill internships and full-time vocation, technical, and professional positions. In addition, we recently established a Grow Your Own program through Bismarck State College in which students who are enrolled in the Power Plant Technician Associate Degree program may apply and be selected for opportunities to work at our power plants as interns. Basin Electric hires up to 5 students at each of our power plants. As full-time positions become available, the students who have completed these internships may apply. If selected, Basin Electric will reimburse 50% of the cost of tuition and books, 15% upon hire, 15% after completing 1 year of employment, and 20% after completing 2 years of employment. Basin Electric staff members also sit on advisory boards for various programs at Bismarck State College. It is also Basin Electric's practice to hire qualified North Dakota workers. Basin Electric includes qualified North Dakota companies on its bidders list for materials and construction work. The actual labor force used in our construction projects is hired by the contractors. The construction personnel are highly trained in this very specialized area of construction. However, certain portions of the construction sequence do not require specialized training. We anticipate that for these tasks, the contractor will likely employ local people.
What efforts has Basin Electric made to economize the costs of construction and operation of this project?
Basin Electric has an obligation to its member cooperatives to construct facilities at the least cost while maintaining reliability and safety. All materials and services are competitively bid by qualified suppliers. Basin Electric will combine purchases with other projects to take advantage of volume pricing. Basin Electric maintains its own facilities, minimizing the cost of contracted services.
Has Basin Electric involved local government entities and citizens in the planning process?
Basin Electric initiates and maintains close contact with all pertinent federal, state, and local agencies prior to construction of a facility. For this project, we have met with county commissions, zoning boards, and city organizations. We involve the public by conducting public scoping meetings, mailing information, and visiting landowners.
Would you please tell the commission what type of commitment Basin Electric has to North Dakota consumers regarding their electric power supply?
Basin Electric is contractually committed to meet all of the additional power requirements above their allocation from Western Area Power Administration for the 14 North Dakota rural electric cooperatives that are our members.
What is Basin Electric's policy regarding labor relations?
Basin Electric management has always maintained an equitable, fair, and harmonious relationship with labor. Basin Electric uses both union and non-union contractors.
What is Basin Electric's policy and what efforts has the cooperative made in the coordination of facilities?
Basin Electric works closely with Western Area Power Administration, Montana Dakota Utilities, and our member systems to share facilities and avoid duplication. For 2 years, we have been meeting with MDU, Western, and our members on a monthly basis to discuss Western North Dakota transmission issues exclusively. Both the Williston and Tioga substations are shared facilities.
What is Basin Electric's position on the monitoring of environmental impacts?
Basin Electric's policy is that environmental impacts should be monitored and steps taken to mitigate and alleviate those impacts which have adverse effects. The environmental assessment prepared by Western discusses expected impacts and mitigation measures proposed for the project. Once a transmission line is completed, a continuing program of maintenance begins. Basin Electric will monitor the line and correct any problems for the life of these facilities.
What is the policy of Basin Electric regarding the use of existing and proposed rights-of-way and other existing or proposed transmission facilities?
Basin Electric strives to avoid duplication in transmission facilities. We have agreements with Montana Dakota Utilities and Western, which enable us to use facilities jointly. These agreements have resulted in economic savings to consumers and the avoidance of unnecessary duplication of transmission lines and substations.
Mr. Marthaler, Basin Electric has applied for a waiver of procedures and time schedules, as well as a certificate of corridor compatibility and a route permit. Will the need for that waiver be addressed by another witness?
Yes, Matthew Stoltz, the manager of transmission services, will address our need and schedule for the project.
Mr. Marthaler, based on your knowledge of the Williston to Tioga transmission line project, do you believe the location, construction, and operation of the proposed facilities produce minimal adverse impacts on the environment and upon the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota?
Yes.
Are the proposed facilities compatible with the environmental preservation and the efficient use of resources?
Yes.
Will the proposed facility locations minimize adverse human environmental impact while ensuring continuing system reliability and integrity and ensuring that energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion?
Yes.
Is it appropriate for the Commission to waive procedures and time schedules as requested, including the request for a single consolidated application for a corridor certificate and a route permit?
Yes.
Does this complete your direct testimony?
Yes.
Your Honor, that completes my direct of this witness.
Thank you, Ms. Jacobson. At this time, Ms. Bendish, do you or Mr. Lean have questions?
I had a couple of things. Mr. Marthaler, do you have a progress report on the environmental assessment? And do you expect that would result in a finding of no significant impact being issued?
Kevin Soley will answer that.
And then I don't know if you're the right witness for another question I had, but in our the commission's tree and shrub mitigation policy, it generally limits clearing of trees through shelter belts to 50 feet. And I'm wondering if that is an acceptable limit considering the requirement to keep the vegetation off of the power line.
Is that a total width of 50 feet?
Yeah, for the clearing. And what would be an acceptable width?
As I said in my testimony, we are subject to the requirements of FERC and NERC,
right.
and they require that the vegetation be cleared to the necessary right-of-way width of the transmission line.
So it would be
wider than 50 feet.
So the full 125 feet.
Well, in a particular location, you could calculate what that requirement is, and the requirement is based on wind blowout and other factors that you could reduce that 125 feet. Now, our policy is that we clear the right of way, the whole 125 feet, okay, to anything greater than 12 feet in height.
Okay. Thank you. That's all the questions I have.
Thank you. At this time, I'll ask commissioners whether you have any questions. Commissioner Kramer.
Thank you. I just have one, Mr. Marthaler. Maybe it's an inquiry into the minimum heights clearance, mm-hmm, in fields and roads and highways. Is that a minimum National Electric Safety Code number? Are those numbers greater than that? And the reason I bring it up is because obviously implements are getting larger, and this is somewhat educational for me. And we've had this issue before where there have been concerned landowners that perhaps the implements that they are now using would, you know, challenge that. Just give me a sense of what 26 feet, for example, means in relation to perhaps the largest piece of equipment that a farmer might be driving underneath it.
I don't know how tall this equipment is. Mm-hmm. that we just stick to the national standards.
Okay.
And in fact, our clearances exceed those clearances of the National Electric Safety Code.
That was kind of that was one piece of information I was looking specifically for, where your standards met with regard to the minimum standards of the electric.
We exceed those standards.
I have nothing further. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Clark?
You.
Commissioner
Kalk? I do have one question.
Commissioner Kalk.
In your testimony, you talked about you used both union and non-union contractors.
Mm-hmm.
How far do you go down into those subcontractors to make sure the people that are on that contracted force are eligible working in North Dakota? And where I'm going is, you know, a recent news story broke about subcontractors that were legal aliens, if you were illegal immigrants. How far can you go down that, and what do you do to make sure that it's great to have all this development, but it's people that are supposed to be doing the work?
Commissioner Kalk, I would like you to wait and ask that question to our construction manager. He's here, okay, and going to be testifying, and he'll
he?
Mark Nygaard.
Mark, okay.
Yeah, I think he's the last one.
Second to the last.
Okay, that's all I have.
Any other questions from the commission? Thank you.
You're welcome.
Who is your next witness, Ms. Jacobson?
Next witness is Mr. Matthew Stoltz.
Mr. Stoltz, please sign the sign of shade. Please raise your right hand. Having been instructed as to penalties for perjury, do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give shall be the truth under pains and penalties of perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Ms. Jacobson, proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Stoltz, would you please state your name, business address, and your occupation?
My name is Matthew Stoltz. My business address is 1717 East Interstate Avenue, Bismarck, North Dakota. I am the manager of transmission services for Basin Electric Power Cooperative. I've worked for Basin Electric since 1999 as an electrical engineer. My work involves transmission studies required to support generation interconnections and requests for transmission services. I also supervise transmission studies for local area support and operational transmission studies to determine if the existing transmission system will be able to handle projected load growth.
Mr. Stoltz, would you please review your employment prior to coming to Basin Electric?
I worked for the Western Area Power Administration from 1986 to 1999 and performed project management and transmission studies functions. Prior to Western, I was employed by Altec Engineers from 1985 to 1986, performing distribution studies and construction inspection.
Would you please state your educational background?
I earned an Associate of Applied Science degree from Bismarck Junior College in 1981. I received a Bachelor of Science degree in Electrical Engineering from North Dakota State University in 1985.
What have been your responsibilities in connection with the Williston to Tioga project?
I was responsible for the collection of data and the coordination of transmission studies which determined the need for the project.
How do you conduct these transmission studies?
Transmission studies are conducted with the use of power system simulation software. With this simulation software, we model the electrical characteristics of the existing transmission system. The computer then calculates the voltages and power flows on the transmission lines and substations, allowing us to analyze whether or not the system is adequate for the loads indicated in the study. One of the most important parts of conducting transmission studies is being able to project the electrical loads into the future. This is required because it can take up to 6 years to design, permit, and construct a major transmission line. Once electrical loads have been projected and placed into the computer model, various outages of the existing transmission system are then simulated. These outages tell us if the existing transmission system is capable of handling the projected load growth in the area. If the transmission outages indicate inadequate transmission into an area, we place into the model various transmission lines or substations in order to determine the best alternative to solve this deficiency.
Are there any standards that you must meet in the design of the transmission system?
Yes. The transmission system must be designed so it meets the criteria set by the North American Reliability Council, NERC. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, has identified NERC as the Federal Reliability Authority for Electrical Utilities in the United States. NERC criteria states we should not have unplanned service interruptions into an area if we have an outage of one transmission line. This criteria enables us to maintain reliable service into an area if a storm should happen to take out one line out of service or if maintenance on a transmission line is required.
Mr. Stoltz, Basin Electric has applied for a waiver of procedures and time schedules based on certain conditions which require expedited construction of the Williston to Tioga transmission line. How did you determine that this need existed?
Basin Electric conducts transmission studies periodically with neighboring utilities such as Montana Dakota Utilities Company, MDU, and the Western Area Power Administration, Western, to review the adequacy of the existing transmission system. Basin Electric, Western, and MDU transmission planners have been cooperatively monitoring the area of northwestern North Dakota for a number of years. Our studies indicated that load growth was impacting system voltage. In 2006, Basin Electric's marketing division and Upper Missouri G&T provided Basin Electric and Western transmission planners new load data for this area. Based on this information, Basin Electric and Western transmission planners determined a dedicated study effort of the area was required. The results of this study determined a new 230 kV line was required to connect the existing Tioga and Williston substations. Also, Western's existing 115 kV line connecting Williston to Charlie Creek substation should be rebuilt to 230 kV operation. These two projects would complete a 230 kV transmission path connecting the Tioga and Williston areas to the 345 kV backbone system near Killdeer, North Dakota.
I show you what's been marked as Exhibit 3. Could you please identify it?
This is a long-range transmission study prepared by Basin Electric that indicates the urgent need for transmission support into the northwestern North Dakota.
Your Honor, I'd move for admission of Exhibit 3.
Any objections?
No objection.
Exhibit 3 is admitted. Thank you.
Mr. Stoltz, how does this project affect the reliability of the transmission system in this area of northwestern North Dakota?
According to the 2007 Basin Electric load forecast for this area, by the year 2011, the northwest North Dakota load is expected to be 220 megawatts. The transmission analysis indicates the transmission system will not be able to accommodate this level of load. The existing transmission limitations will curtail future load growth unless this facility is constructed. The proposed Williston-Tioga 230 kV line, along with the western upgrade of its Williston-Charlie Creek 115 kV line to 230 kV operation, will increase the area load serving limit to approximately 300 megawatts. Based on the 2007 load forecast, the 300 megawatt load limit should provide adequate capacity through the year 2020.
Does the proposed location, construction, and operation of the 230 kV Williston to Tioga transmission line ensure continued system reliability and integrity?
Yes, the proposed transmission line will serve the projected electrical load growth while meeting NERC criteria. The load serving limit will rise to at least 300 megawatts to accommodate long-term forecasted load.
Does the proposed project ensure that the energy needs of the area will be fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion?
Yes.
Will this transmission line benefit the area through which Basin Electric is proposing to construct?
Yes. This transmission line will provide a direct benefit for service into the area, allowing reliable service to area consumers.
Are there any plans for expansion of this line?
There are no plans for expansion of this particular transmission line.
Does this conclude your direct testimony?
Yes.
Your Honor, that completes my direct of this witness.
Thank you, Ms. Jacobson. Mr. Lean, do you have questions for Mr. Stoltz?
Just one. What power system simulation software were you referring to that you use? Is that Power World or?
No, we use Siemens PTI, PSSC software.
That's it, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Question only an engineer, good luck.
Does the commission have any questions? Commissioner Clark.
I do have just a couple. You indicated that by the year 2011, Northwest North Dakota load is expected to be about 220 megawatts. Can you give me a sense of what the historical trend is with regard to that? So if you look at, for example, right now, what is the load in Northwest North Dakota compared with, say, 5 or 10 years ago?
Yeah, if in the exhibit there is a small diagram showing the load growth projections.
Okay.
Right now it's about 175 megawatts or so. And that this is based off the 2007 forecast, but that forecast is still accurate for today, so it matches today's actual loads. So as we approach 200 megawatts, we'll be running out of system capacity. So we're getting close to the edge, so to speak, of our ability to serve network load.
Wow. It's a pretty remarkable increase in a short amount of time, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Does the addition of this line do anything at all for North Dakota's export potential? I understand this is on the far end of kind of where the Eastern Interconnect is, but in any way, does this provide more capacity for potential wind farms, something like that at some point?
Right. Given this line is in northwest North Dakota, it's not a line connecting North Dakota to major load centers out east, so it doesn't provide a direct benefit for export. However, it beefs up the local network system, which would provide an on-ramp for wind power to get to the high-voltage network grid at some other place.
Okay, but on the whole, it's fair to say that this is really a reliability line and one that's specifically addressing a need related to the expanding energy facilities in the northwest part of the state, oil and gas production.
Right, the primary purpose is a load-serving network facility to enable us to serve network loads reliably.
I can't talk now.
Thanks.
Any other questions from the commission? Commissioner Kramer?
I do. Thank you, Your Honor. Matt, especially for perhaps members of the public and somewhat for myself, I'd like just a little clarification on this waiver of procedures and time schedules, because traditionally for us, as a commission, while we've been dealing with a lot of siting, that one of the first things we waive is the one-year waiting period between the letter of intent and the application, which was not the case here because the letter of intent was received over 2 years ago, which we appreciate, by the way. That's sort of forward warning, because oftentimes we'll get a letter of intent and ask for that 1 year to be waived to a day. Just so I'm clear, is the purpose of, are the procedures we're waiving and that we're waiving today, or at least you're asking us to waive today, relate specifically to the joint or the corridor and route permits together, so that we're having a joint hearing on just those, or is there something more to it than that?
I don't feel qualified to answer that question. Mm-hmm. Casey, can you help me with that?
I think the next witness, Mr. Kevin Soley, can address that.
Okay. That'd be
fine. Sorry.
That's fine. I prefer to get the right answer.
Yeah, I prefer to give you the right answer.
If I had a good engineering software question to ask, I would. I have nothing further, Your Honor.
Thank you. Anything else from questions from the commission? Commissioner Kalk?
Just had a background question for me, that the interconnect with the Williston substation, I mean, that's got to be key to this whole project, right?
Absolutely.
And so from, I guess, the reliability standard, that's the key piece to this. Is there anything that you know of, other than we've been hearing from the NEPA side of this, that would restrict that from happening or cause that not to happen?
That's a Western Power substation.
Yeah.
And they're currently expanding the yard as we speak. It's under construction right now.
So the only thing that might be a challenge there is the EA getting through a finding, and from your side, everything looks good?
It's a permanent question again, so I don't feel comfortable answering it, but maybe I should just leave it at that. But as far as I know,
it's just more of a background, just from what you've seen, because you're out there all the time. I know it's their stuff, but just with what you've seen, everything looking so far so good.
Yeah, so far so good. I mean, the Wilson sub's under construction. In fact, the WAPA just rebuilt the section line between Wilson and Watford City last summer, So that's already been done. We need to build our line between Tioga and Williston, of course, next year. Yep. Then WAPA's going to turn around and then rebuild the section between Wapper City and Charlie Creek the year after. And then we'll be good to go for this 230 kV loop that we need to serve this load as projected to occur in the near future.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioners, any more questions? Thank you. Were there any other questions? No? All right. Thank you, Ms. Jacobson. Thank you, Mr. Stoltz. And who is your next witness?
The next witness is Mr. Kevin Soley.
I think we'll, it's about 20 to 12, so we have time to take this witness, and then we'll look at perhaps breaking for lunch. Does that sound reasonable?
This portion of the witness will be about 18 minutes.
Very good.
That's pretty precise.
Very good.
We timed it.
Yeah.
Mr. Soley, could you
predict
sign in?
And that's not factored in the 18 minutes.
Mr. Soley, please raise your right hand. Having been instructed as to penalties for perjury, do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give shall be correct? I've done this a million times, and all of a sudden it just, okay. Do you swear that you will tell the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Please proceed, Ms. Jacobson.
Thank you, Your Honor. Please state your name, address, and occupation.
My name is Kevin L. Soley. My business address is 1717 East Interstate Avenue, Bismarck, North Dakota. I am employed by Basin Electric Power Cooperative as a senior environmental analyst. I am responsible for the preparation of environmental studies and permit applications for various transmission and generation projects Basin Electric is currently planning.
Would you please state your educational background and professional experience?
I earned a Bachelor of Science degree from the University of North Dakota, Grand Forks, in 1987 with a major in geology. In 1995, I received a Master of Science degree from the University of North Dakota with a major in geology with special emphasis on hydrogeology. In 2008, I earned a degree in geological engineering, again from the University of North Dakota. From 1988 through 1990, I worked as a graduate teaching assistant for the University of North Dakota Department of Geology and Geological Engineering. From 1991 to 2007, I worked as an environmental scientist for the North Dakota State Department of Health, Division of Waste Management. I am a recently retired commissioned officer of the North Dakota Army National Guard, having served a one-year tour of duty in Iraq. I was hired by Basin Electric in May 2007.
Mr. Soley, what have been your responsibilities in connection with the Williston to Tioga Project Corridor Studies?
I am responsible for the overall coordination of the environmental analysis of this project. This involves working with an interdisciplinary consultant team, contacting and meeting with public officials, coordinating activities with other Basin Electric departments, and reviewing and coordinating the various reports that have been submitted to the Western Area Power Administration, the North Dakota Public Service Commission, and other interested agencies.
You mentioned the Western Area Power Administration. What is their involvement with the Williston to Tioga project?
The proposed 230 kV Williston to Tioga transmission line will interconnect with Western's Williston substation. This interconnection is subject to Western's approval. That approval by Western is a federal action subject to the National Environmental Policy Act, or NEPA. Western requires an environmental assessment, or EA, be completed for the project. This EA is prepared under Western supervision. Western is completing a final review of an August 2009 draft. Western will publish the EA for public comment following its review. After Western has received those comments, it will issue its decision.
What is the purpose of your testimony in this proceeding?
I will describe the methodology used to delineate the proposed corridor and demonstrate, with respect to environmental considerations, the proposed corridor is in accordance with the North Dakota Energy Conversion and Transmission Facility Siting Act and the North Dakota Public Service Commission rules.
Thank you.
Mr. Soley, I hand you a document which the court reporter has marked as Exhibit 4 and asks you to identify it.
It consists of a set of four maps that depict Public Service Commission transmission corridor exclusion and avoidance areas.
Your Honor, I'd move for admission of the series of these maps.
Any objection, Ms. Bandage?
No objection.
Thank you. Exhibit 4 is admitted.
Also, for members of the public, the same maps are depicted along the south wall of this room.
Thank you.
Please describe what an exclusion criteria means.
The North Dakota Public Service Commission rules at North Dakota Administrative Code, Chapter 690601, states, exclusion criteria means criteria that remove areas from consideration for energy conversion facility sites and transmission facility routes.
Please describe what an avoidance criteria means.
The North Dakota Public Service Commission rules at North Dakota Administrative Code, Chapter 690601, states, avoidance criteria means criteria that remove areas from consideration for energy conversion facility sites and transmission facility routes unless it can be shown that under the circumstances there are no reasonable alternatives.
Mr. Soley, do the Public Service Commission rules provide any further direction regarding exclusion and avoidance areas?
Yes. The North Dakota Administrative Code, Chapter 690608, also provides exclusion and avoidance areas may be located within a corridor, but at no given point shall such an area or areas encompass more than 50% of the corridor width, unless there is no reasonable alternative.
Mr. Soley, I hand you what has been marked by the court reporter as Exhibit 5. Could you please identify it?
Yes. It is a set of four maps that depict land use. Cropland is depicted in green, grassland in pale green, pasture and hayland in brown, woodland in red, cities in transparent light blue, wetlands and bodies of water in blue, and barren or developed land in white. Areas of soil types with high irrigation potential are depicted in orange crosshatch.
Your Honor, I would move for admission of Exhibit Number 5.
Any objections, Ms. Bendish?
No objection.
Thank you. Exhibit 5 is admitted. And are those the maps behind us here?
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Mr. Soley, would you please give the Commission a general description of the proposed corridor?
Preliminary estimates of transmission line length were on the order of 60 miles. Since corridor width must be a minimum of 10% of corridor length up to a maximum of 6 miles, a corridor width of 6 miles was used for the project. The proposed corridor is located in Williams and Montreal counties in western North Dakota and is oriented to avoid exclusion and avoidance areas to the extent practicable. Portions of the communities of Williston, Tioga, and Ray lie within the corridor but would be avoided during detailed routing. The Zoll Lake National Wildlife Refuge, along with various U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service waterfall production areas, were also avoided during corridor routing. As depicted on the map, the corridor generally trends east to west following U.S. Highway 2. It then trends to the southwest and finally south to the existing Williston substation. Agriculture and livestock production dominate land use within the proposed corridor. The proposed corridor includes 199,469 acres of land, of which 91% are classified as cropland, pasture, or planted herbaceous perennials. Oil and gas exploration and production infrastructure is also present throughout the corridor.
Would you please describe the general philosophy and objectives used by Basin Electric in delineation of the proposed corridor?
The process used by Basin Electric and its consultants in the analysis of the study area and eventual identification of the proposed corridor is based upon a deductive approach, that is, from the general to the specific. This approach entails starting with a broad study area and then narrowing it and refining it by incorporating data and other input gathered from public agencies, environmental databases, to the point where a well-defined corridor is identified in the study area. The ultimate goal of the corridor selection process was to locate a suitable line route between two endpoints. Although the corridor process is not line route specific, the selection methodology was designed so that the preferred corridor was known to contain at least one potential line route, which, to the extent practicable, will satisfy the following objectives. 1. Avoid inhabited rural residences by a minimum of 500 feet. 2. Minimize the disturbance to cultivated croplands. 3. Avoid irrigated cropland. 4. Avoid identified recreational, historical, archaeological, paleontological, or other culturally significant areas when possible. 5. Minimize the possible destruction of shelter belts, hardwood draws, and other areas of conservation and ecologic importance. 6. Avoid the potential disturbance to rare and endangered species of plants and animals. 7. Minimize the effect on designated waterfowl production areas, game management areas, and wildlife refuges. 8. Minimize interference with extraction of economic minerals. 9. Minimize engineering, construction, and maintenance hazards. 10. Enhance the electrical reliability of the transmission system. 11. Minimize circuitous routing, which would increase costs and overall impacts. And finally, 12. Avoid incompatible obstacles or systems such as missile silos, oil wells, or airports.
Who participated in the corridor selection process?
A multidisciplinary team at Basin Electric, including environmental, engineering, and lands and right-of-way personnel, worked together in the corridor selection process. In addition, consultants to Basin Electric, including the staff from AECOM, formerly ENSER, of Fort Collins, Colorado, played a major role in the corridor delineation process.
Please describe the major considerations of delineating the transmission corridor.
The overarching goal of our selection of the proposed corridor was to identify a path which represents the most direct route between the two endpoints while simultaneously minimizing environmental, cultural, and socioeconomic impacts, engineering and construction costs, and related problems.
Mr. Soley, did Basin Electric incorporate public input in the corridor selection process?
Yes. The deductive approach employed by Basin Electric starts with a broad study area, then narrowing it by incorporating various data and input from public agencies, representative officials, private industry, and the general public to the point where a corridor is identified within the study area. Basin Electric representatives met with Williams County Planning and Zoning Board in September 2008 to provide a project overview and to receive their comments and concerns. A PowerPoint slideshow about the project was presented and included information about the project location, state and federal environmental review processes, and the acquisition of easements. In total, 41 agencies, organizations, or officials were contacted for early input for this project. 10 Native American tribes were also contacted to solicit their input on the project. The list of officials and agencies contacted are presented in Appendix 8A, of the application. The Western Area Power Administration, or WESTERN, also conducted public scoping meetings in mid-March 2008 in compliance with the scoping provisions of the United States Department of Energy NEPA implementation regulations. These meetings were conducted in Williston and Tioga. The purpose of the meetings was to aid in the federal decision-making process and to assist in the formulation of issues to be addressed by WESTERN's environmental assessment for the proposed project. The comments received during these meetings were also considered in the corridor and route selection process.
Mr. Soley, I'm going to ask you a series of questions regarding the PSC Transmission Facility Corridor Criteria Exclusion Areas. Does the proposed corridor contain any designated or registered national parks, memorial parks, historic sites and landmarks, national landmarks, monuments, or wilderness areas?
No.
Any designated or registered state parks, historic sites, monuments, historic parks, markers, archaeological sites, or nature preserves?
Yes. A Class 1 records and file search revealed 148 recorded archaeological sites in the proposed corridor. The recorded sites included prehistoric sites, such as stone circles or cairns, historic sites, and architectural sites. All of these sites would be avoided during detailed routing.
Any county parks and recreational areas, municipal parks, or parks owned or administered by any other governmental subdivisions?
Yes, there are several small municipal parks, campgrounds, or recreation areas within or near the communities of Williston, Ray, and Tioga. All of these areas were avoided during detailed routing.
any areas critical to the life stages of threatened or endangered animal or plant species?
No. Although federally listed species such as the whooping crane, piping plover, interior leased tern, and gray wolf may occur in the project vicinity, designated critical habitat for these species does not occur within the proposed corridor.
Are there any areas where animal or plant species that are unique or rare to this state would be irreversibly damaged?
No. Although state-sensitive animal and plant species may occur within the corridor, none of the species would be irreversibly damaged by construction activities. The exhibit reflecting the location of exclusion and avoidance areas illustrates the general locations of state-sensitive animal and plant species populations present within and adjacent to the proposed corridor. There were no North Dakota Natural Heritage Inventory sites located within the corridor.
Mr. Soley, at any given point within the corridor, does an exclusion or avoidance area encompass more than 50% of the corridor width?
No.
Mr. Soley, I'm going to ask you a series of questions regarding the PSC transmission facility selection criteria. How does the proposed corridor demonstrate that significant adverse effects, if any, upon agriculture will be kept to an acceptable minimum? Please address this issue in terms of farmsteads, cropland, and interference with irrigation.
Farmsteads are scattered throughout the proposed corridor. The highest density of residents and businesses are located in and around the city of Williston, which is located in the extreme southwestern portion of the proposed corridor. Rural residents and buildings have been avoided to the extent practicable during the detailed routing process. Agriculture and livestock production dominate land use in the project vicinity. As I mentioned before, the project corridor includes 199,469 acres of land, of which 91% is classified as cropland, pasture, or planted herbaceous perennials. As such, agriculture areas are included in the corridor. However, impacts to agriculture are minimized by the use of single-pole, unguided structures and the strategic placement of structures along the edges of fields. Irrigated lands identified within the proposed corridor would be avoided to the extent practicable.
Mr. Soley, is there any anticipated impact on the surface drainage patterns or ground water flow patterns if the line were to be routed through the proposed corridor?
Drainages within the proposed corridor are largely intermittent and ephemeral. No impacts are anticipated to occur to either surface or groundwater flow patterns.
Do you anticipate any significant adverse impact on noise-sensitive land uses resulting from the location, construction, and maintenance of the proposed facility?
No significant adverse effect is anticipated. Sensitive noise receptors within the area include rural residents living in scattered locations on farmsteads and those living in developed areas. There would be a short-term increase in noise during construction of the transmission line. This may be mitigated, however, by conducting construction during daylight hours. These areas have been avoided to the extent practicable during the detailed routing process.
Will the facility have any visual impacts to the adjacent areas?
Visual resources within the proposed corridor largely consist of broad expanses of cultivated fields, rangeland, and grasslands. The landscape has been altered due to previous development, oil and gas exploration and production infrastructure, roads, and utility lines are present in the area. Because of the gently rolling terrain in the proposed corridor, the transmission structures will be visible in the general area of the line route. However, the overall character of the land would not be significantly changed.
Do you anticipate any significant impacts on areas of extractive or storage resources?
No. While there is significant oil and gas activity in the area, it would not be in conflict with the proposed transmission line.
Any impacts on wetlands, woodlands, or wood areas?
Woodlands and wooded areas, including shelter belts, occur in localized areas within the proposed corridor. These areas have been avoided whenever feasible by the proposed route.
On radio and television reception and other communication or electronic control facilities?
No, impacts would be minimal.
Do you expect any significant adverse effect on human and animal health and safety or plant life?
No.
Mr. Soley, will it be possible to route in the preferred corridor so as to not violate any city or county zoning ordinance?
Yes. Basin Electric has secured zoning approvals for the transmission line and associated facilities from the Williams County Commission. Montreal County indicated it will not require Basin Electric to obtain any zoning approvals. The zoning approval for Equality Township in Williams County is pending, and approval is expected November 7, 2009. We will provide a late-filed exhibit of that approval, along with the approval from Williams County.
What effects are underway with regard to nationally listed threatened or endangered species?
Western, as the lead agency under NEPA, is conducting a Section 7 consultation per the Endangered Species Act with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. When the consultation is complete...